He says, I don't know how to tell you this. They just don't like you anymore, and I've been instructed to that you're no longer creditworthy. I said, what do you mean creditworthy? I mean, last week you gave me $1 million from the signature. Huh. I got to call all your loans. He says, we've been friends long enough. And he says, I can help you some. And I said, what does that mean? He says, it's like what they're doing right now. You got 30 days. All this money that the government's putting out is on 30 days.
Right, all the loans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's just to get themselves organized and just pull things under. So I have 30 days to come up with all these jillions of dollars, right?
But were you shocked?
Of course.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
I was totally blown away. But then I also said, well, I know how to play your game. So I tried to call some favors on some of my other banks that I had helped. And they had their hands tied. And I said, well... So what I did then is immediately starting unloading everything that I could. And I lost millions. I just ran away. Color it gone.
Incredible.
And then I said, oh, the heck with it. So Desiree and I, we moved to Boulder, Colorado. I said, I'll just kind of kick back. But then I sat in on a meeting with the governor of Colorado and is discussing the underground facilities in Australia. And he got his ticket. I said, what ticket? He's one of the chosen ones.
Oh, wow.
George, I have to ask you that. If a bunch of people have got tickets for these underground facilities in Australia and elsewhere, what's the need to go underground at that point?
Well,
nuclear
fallout.
Hi, I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, and we're very happy today to be here with George Green. We're going to be asking him all sorts of questions he's never been asked before. Try to get to the root of why he knows what he knows, why he's actually really on the cutting edge in many ways, and find out some secrets that he hasn't already told. So, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so George, let's go back to when you first broke into this, and I know you've told that story before, how you were kind of called up and, you know, the thing with... Which Kennedy was it?
Ted Kennedy?
Yeah, and that whole incident. Because that seemed to be, now you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that seemed to be like the eye-opening incident in which he sort of looked across the room and saw your daughter and didn't know it was your daughter and made a comment and what was going on then and you were asked.
I'll give you the whole story. I was, prior to this meeting up there, I was volunteering to act as a president of companies. And I would go in, and my job was to liquidate them. I'd get rid of the expendable containers, that's the people. And we'd raid all the assets, and we'd split them when we got through doing all that. That was just kind of, but I did it as a game. I just figured if you weren't smart enough to get up to where, quote, we were, you deserve what you get. Anyway, as I was running around the country, I got introduced to a lot of, you know, the powerful people, if you want to call it that. Anyway, one weekend I was invited up to Aspen. I was going to Aspen all the time anyway. I built the dormitory for Colorado Mountain College, which is close up in Leadville. I built a house in Aspen. Estee Lauder actually built a house next to the house that I built up there. And anyway, I come into this room and I brought my two daughters up so they can go skiing. And I said, what am I here for? And they said, we have decided we want you to be the finance chairman for the next president of the United States. And I said, I just started this $100 million project. I mean, last week I was with Bill Levitt, you know, at the Beverly Hills Hotel, sitting around a swimming pool discussing building cities. And Bill Levitt built Levittown, Pennsylvania, Levittown, New York, just
right.
So you know.
Absolutely.
I said, well, I got the next question, why me? And they said, well, number one, you're pretty good with money. And we owe you a favor. And I said, well, the next question I had, who's going to be the next president? And they said, Jimmy Carter. And I said, Jimmy who? And they said, well, he's the Democratic governor of Georgia. And I said, but I've been voting Republican. And this tall guy, Paul Volcker, walks over and he says, son, don't worry about it. We control them both.
So was this your introduction to the Illuminati, or did
no,
you have
I was,
a
no,
clue
I was
before
running with
that?
I was running around with the guys. But I didn't have the... Each one of them, they compartmentalize all the information that you get.
Okay.
You know, you can go... When you're with the people that are making the plays, they have certain ego things that they want to satisfy. I mean, Kissinger said the absolute aphrodisiac is power. Mm-hmm. So we put anybody they want to in power. And then just feed them whatever they wanted to. I mean, I joked about it. I could wear my jeans and go down and borrow $1 million and on my signature.
Uh-huh.
No questions asked. Anyway, this meeting changed all this stuff. Because, like you said, I said, well, next question I have is, what does a finance chairman do? And they said, well, you sit with Ted. So I sat down with Ted Kennedy, and Ted was right next to me, and he said, George, you're going to love this job. We're going to send you out to all the state Democratic functions. You're really good with money, and you raise money for the National Democratic Party. And he said, then you're going to meet some real foxy ladies. Well, they all think that way, frankly. Now, it isn't just Ted, but they all do. So just coincidentally, my daughter walks in. Now, my daughter is a very attractive young lady. And Ted goes, wow, I have to go to bed with that. And I said, no, Ted, that's my daughter, and she's 14. His response back to me, I don't care. That's when everything kind of stopped to me. I gulped. I said, wait a minute. I gave him the guidelines. I mean, you know, I know how he thought. But when he said he didn't care what I thought about it, then I just said, that's enough. I got up. I didn't say another word to Ted. I walked across the room. I'm talking to Pierre Trudeau and his wife. Pierre at that time was the Prime Minister of Canada. And I'm talking to them just to get my head leveled. I mean, I had just looked at that character over there across the room, and I'll share with some of the other people who were there. But I'm looking in front of Pierre, and there's a little half cigar box full of white powder. I grabbed the housekeeper, and I went in the back room, and I'm looking at the dresser, and on top of this dresser was this all these glass tubes. Now, I went to Carlisle School of Mines. I majored in geophysics. And chemistry was just kind of a fun game, right? And I never looked at things. I couldn't believe what they were doing. I said, what is this thing? And they said, it's free basing equipment. They were just using all this stuff. I said, duh, you know, to myself. So I walked by. This was, the meeting was on a Friday afternoon. I said to the people who invited me up there, I said, look, this is a big decision in my life. I mean, I don't want to stop my $100 million project, even though you'll warehouse it. That's what they told me. Let me think about it and let you know on Monday. Monday, after consideration of everything else, and some of the guys were talking about what they had planned, which is the Global 2000 agenda, the Plan 2000, which Jimmy Carter put in writing. Every congressman got a copy of it. As Kissinger says, the number one problem we have on planet Earth right now is too many people. Well, if you look at that, you would probably agree, so does everybody else. 40% of the world's population is existing on less than $2 a day. If I drop it down to a dollar, we still got 1.5 billion people. And you have no idea what 1 billion people are until you go to China and walk among them. And there's 1.3 billion over there. But you have to experience that. I mean, I spent a month in China. Now, here's the problem. Bucky Fuller and I spent an afternoon discussing, remember his big geodesic domes and all that? Mm-hmm. And I told him that they're not practical, because when you're building, the biggest problem with building is your seams. How many seams do you have, for instance, in the geodesic? They're all over. That's the reason why you go to the monolithic. I have a picture, I'll show you the monolithic stuff that you should have.
Which is just like an entire half hemisphere. Not a half hemisphere, it's an entire hemisphere.
Well, you blow up a balloon, and I have a picture. Let me grab the picture real quick. I'll just show it.
Yeah.
That dwelling is like a big balloon, and what you do is we'll blow the concrete up on the inside along with 4 inches of foam for insulation.
Hmm.
Now you have something that will structure. We'll be able to withstand the 340-mile-an-hour winds that are coming, that will be coming to us. This structure here, you can heat it with about 1,000 100-watt light bulbs. So you don't have any energy use. The biggest problem with these units at this minute is that since the air is basically stagnated, you have to have circulating of the air, and then the humidity is always at least 50%. So you have to address that, but we have a lot of ways to cure all that problem. Meanwhile, it doesn't take anything to heat them. They'll withstand anything. The only things that concern me as a builder, and I've built a lot of stuff, nothing's going to withstand the winds that are going to be coming down to us very shortly.
Well, have you heard of earth ships?
Yeah.
Have you been in one?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what do you think?
Well, here's, as a builder, when you build all these things that are coming down, you can have these ships. Will they withstand a tree going through the air at 300 miles an hour and
right.
hitting it? See, that's what you have to look at. And it isn't just necessarily that. Look at the Indians in the Southwest, in Four Corners. They build them up against the cliffs, and they build them inside.
But I'm going to come back to that, because I want to go back to our story that you started with.
Okay.
And just talk about kind of like, what kind of, mental, emotional roller coaster did you go on in order to get to the place where you are now? Because you seem to be pretty calm, pretty content, and pretty solid with what's happened to you. And I understand that you're having communications with the Pleiadians, too, or you
no.
have had.
Well, remember, that's, I have had, but we've gone past that. That's
How?
Only one. That's only one level within this
complex
okay, so you're, of information.
Are yeah. you meaning you're talking to other beings, or?
Well, let's put it this way. In John, in the Bible, whichever one most people use, in John 1 it says, "In the beginning there was the Word." Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was not even correct. In the beginning it was thought. Aren't words thought out loud?
Mm-hmm.
You pray, you put out thought.
Sure.
Meditate, you're hoping to receive thought.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to give an understanding, if you continue that thing, then really what is thought but God as you would know it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or the creation's thinking. Now, the creation make manifest, as they say, or God made manifest, in different dimensions at many times, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we manifest at this dimension this illusion, which you and I consider this hologram, right?
Right.
Which consists of the soul plus the vibration of light. And the vibration of light is the frequency that you consider looking at you as a solid object. Now, what's holding that solid object together? Do you know? It's your soul.
Right.
Is holding within. It weighs 22 grams. They
uh-huh.
always tell you it's within. It's based on the hydrogen. The universe is very logical, so you have to see how it's all put together. Now, Carrie, using you as an example, if you're nothing more than a hologram of condensed light, how do I affect that condensed light? Well, we can affect that by the lights, right? If I put you, well, we don't have any in this room, but I put you under fluorescent fixtures, it will cause this physical being to be very weak.
Right.
I can also affect it by thought.
Mm-hmm.
We can make you weak. You've seen probably seen my demonstrations on how I make you weak, or have you, let me show you. Well, can I use you as a demonstration?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm going to do is...
You're going to do that, the
yeah,
arm thing?
Yeah, I'm going to do the arm thing, because you're going to hold it out.
Okay,
We'll use. Now, what I'm doing is, your arm is a kinesiology bit, basically holding
right.
energy. Okay, now, you hold it up, right? Hold it up. I want you to hold it up. No, okay, she's holding it up. But since your rays, and there's many of them that go out, and I see what we call the aura around people.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you will learn how to do that yourself at some point. But what I need to do is now put your arm out again.
Actually, I do. Okay.
Okay. We're going down. Okay, now I'm going to do is cut your energy line, which I just did. What happened to your arm? See how weak it got? You can't do it. Now, when a priest comes up to you, hold your arms out, both of them. And a priest comes up to you. This is another mind control game. They come up to you, and they go like this, and they split them. So guess what? How weak did you get? You see, what we're doing is a combination of mind control and
uh-huh.
body control of this hologram. Now, how do we manipulate it? By light, colors, and action.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we keep it in vibration or keep it in balance? The whole key is keep everything in balance. Now, when you depart this planet, when you're talking about it, whether it's if you've seen the Billy Meyer, the videos or the movies on that, you see him beam to board. What we do is condense light back to frequency, and you're beamed to board a craft. It's like going from here to the Pleiades, you know, in a few hours. I didn't bring the documents that I just recently got from him, which told me about the speed on how they can go from here to the Pleiades, which is 500 light years.
Okay, but how'd you get those documents?
Well, I did a lecture and somebody asked me a little bit about how fast it takes, and they said there was of the two crafts, the Wedding Cake and another, which is the latest variation, they were saying how long it took for that craft to go from there to the Pleiades at the constant level of, or the temperature of outer space. And I got to thinking about that. What is the constant temperature of outer space?
Pretty much absolutely zero.
No, it's 276 degrees below zero.
Absolute zero, yeah.
Yeah, but it's at when everything's there. And at these speeds, the latest variation takes a couple hours, the other ones take 4 or 5 hours to make it. But what they do is condense all matter back to the light. It's kind of like what we're doing here, condensing everything down to a CD.
Okay.
And then we take that CD and then re-manifest it. And that's what they're doing now. They're making holograms. When you go to...
Right. Absolutely.
You know, if you go to Disney World, for instance, down there in the Haunted Mansion, you see the hologram, right? Oh, you know how to make a hologram. Well, our scientists have learned how to make people. They call them synthetics. Are you familiar with those?
Well, actually, we just interviewed John Lear, and he was talking about being in an audience in which they were given a lecture by a guy that they thought was real and found out later he was a hologram.
Well, it's a synthetic. A synthetic's when you touch their skin, it feels like plastic almost. That's the latest technique. The old techniques, if you guys can rent a video, the boys from Brazil, rent it, because in it, it gives you the exact way how our government's been making people.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, come
and the
on.
Soviets have a different method called...
I mean, making people, meaning temporary people?
No. Walking, talking ones.
Meaning through genetics? You're not talking about that?
Well, let me tell you. The movie shows it, but I'll share it with you right now.
All right.
All I need to do is take two cells off of your body, yours.
Uh-huh.
We give them a small electrical charge. I'm just act like a fertilized egg. If I got a fertilized egg, all I need is a receiver in order to make it. So they were hypnotizing women, you know, said they were being invaded by aliens. And the fetus starts growing, right? Needs food. Well, they can use cows and sheep, too. Again, a food source, that's all we need. After about 14 weeks, all of a sudden that fetus is gone. Because they've learned to take, that's when the fetus starts developing its own blood supply. Then they've used a pituitary hormone extract that they have, which accelerates the being that grows. And the original technology was given to our government by the Greys. Now, the reason was that our scientists were all excited because we could have spare parts. If you need a heart or a liver or anything, you won't have any rejection. It's your own DNA, right?
Okay, because theoretically, if we have overpopulation, we don't need more people, right?
But the so-called elite are selecting on who they want to have around anyway, so if we want to keep people going as long as we can. I talked to the doctor that was working on regeneration of Castro, for instance.
Right.
On the DNA sequencing. And they're just learning about this.
Well, my understanding is that a lot of presidents have already been replaced.
That's right.
Yeah,
I don't think...
They look old, but they basically...
I'll give you something to ponder. Get some old videos of George Bush when he first came into office. Look at the person and listen to him speak. Look at his actions and listen to his everything that they're... Now, it's a lot easier to put somebody out in front to act as a, you know, even Bush did. He had somebody else that was up there acting like he is and look like it. Even Hitler had his stand-in. In fact, his stand-in was the one that they found in the ground over in Germany. I mean, Hitler and Eva and the dog and 14 other people got aboard a plane and flew down to Barcelona, Spain. You were aware of that. And then ended up in Antarctica or in Swabenland and then died a few years ago in Brazil.
That's what we heard.
I have all the documents from our own government.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a contact, one of our
Stalin asked for the, you know, they tried to burn the body, and he got the body back, and he said, wait a minute, different ears, and the testicles were different and everything else, so they knew it wasn't Hitler.
But is it a clone or not?
Oh, now you know we're going about cloning. Cloning techniques, since 38, we've been, 1938, they've been making clone people. There's 8 countries making clones. I have a doctor friend,
okay,
and all he does is treat the clones.
Where do you get your information?
I get it from some of the people that are willing to come forth, and they talk to me because they hope I'll put the information out, because they always got two people following them and maybe be killed. If I start talking about cloning too much, the people that get involved into that disappear on it. So I don't go into too many more details. But there is information that's available. And it's more and more of that's coming on the line. I just told you, go rent the movie.
Okay, Voice from Brazil.
Yeah, and you'll see the whole technique on what they show it to you in different places. So you can imagine what it's going on.
Okay, so...
No, let's go to the next step, because this is the most important part.
All right.
If your physical reality that you have, based on this physical life that you have, this dream, is made up of the experiences that is impregnated on your body and in your mind, consciously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your soul memory is another thing. Mm-hmm. It goes back whatever time that you've elected to be in this incarnation for whatever reason. Now, let's show you the division on these things. Since the body's very physical, and we just got you making a physical being in a few months for spare parts, they said, now we've got the perfect deal. How can we have that work better? Well, if you go to the hospital today and get an encephalogram, what's that? That's the memory of your conscious mind. It's on the CD. Let's download it on this being. Now we got a walking, talking duplicate that has the total memory that you have, because we just took it off of your own mind.
Okay. It's like Blade Runner, the android.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The only thing is that it's like this DVD recorder. Sometimes you have glitches in it, so you have to have them tuned up occasionally or redone. And so we take them to Camp David, or there's a wing at Bethesda Hospital, to just tell you. If you go down there and check, you'll find the nurses. If they're willing to come forth, they'll tell you they work on those people, and they call them the others. I thought it was interesting. They're people. Remember, these people can think and act, but they don't have soul. That's also prophesized.
Right,
soulless
that's
beings.
True. That's true.
Now we have another agenda that's going on, so you have to be careful of all this. There are many extraterrestrials that would like to be in on the game right now, so they can sometimes will come into these physical beings that we've made to manipulate them.
I see.
So okay. Now you have a combination effort that you have to look at, and discernment. Mm-hmm. You have to discern what the game is. Well, just figure that most of the leaders we have in the world have been bought and paid for or created to think a certain way. And the world.
Mm-hmm. But okay, now to get back to what I'm asking you is, like, so you had sort of this crystallization moment. You were basically thinking like them, you were making money like them. So is that just the beginning of a path that you went on at that point, or did you have an instantaneous change?
I'm looking back at my experience when I had all the things. That's when I made my conscious decision when they...
You refused the job.
Well, the job, it wasn't a question of doing that. It was what they're going to do after that. And after that was to reduce the world population down to 500 million.
Right.
I said, wait a minute, I don't want to be part of that.
Okay.
I mean, it's something with it. Wait a minute. You know, I want to know more about that, because I've... as a kid, I was brought up, one of my friends, Dr. Walter Moyer, was one of the team... the doctors had dug up the Dead Sea Scrolls. And he came back and he gave me a lot of the information. He said they'll never let it out to the churches. There's no such person of Jesus. There was no evidence of anybody ever lived like that.
Hmm.
You know, well, that, of course, takes care of organized religion, per se, as they look at it. So I said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to look at that story. So I started analyzing, but also on a logical basis. Then the information that I had received from extraterrestrials about life, per se, and life begins maybe before you came into this planet.
Oh, well, definitely before that.
That you select, but they say at the moment of conception, as a coincidental thing from the extraterrestrials. Now, this all fits together. And we didn't talk about it. My first extraterrestrial thing was when I was
right.
in the Air Force, and that was in 1958. I'm stationed at Edwards Air Force Base out in the Mojave Desert, and did the post-flight inspection on the X-15, the forerunner of the space shuttle. When I finished doing that, and it's nothing more than a rocket on skids that lands out in the desert, there was a couple of hangars that I hadn't been to. So I was curious. I mean, I was cleared for top secret. I just went inside of it, and now I'm looking at, as close as you are, a disc, you know, a lot bigger than this room, but this is unusual. And I'm sitting here kind of walking, and I said, huh, maybe I want to find out more about this. So anyway, I went back in and asked my commander about this, and he basically told me that it was an ion-powered craft, ION, powered craft designed by Sikorsky, the helicopter people, for use in outer space. I accepted what he said. I was naive. And I said, well, when can I work on it? And he says, you can't. It's still a civilian project. You know, Edwards is a crossover base. When I was there, there was only 800 airmen and 25,000 civilians. The civilian contracting companies make these vehicles, then the Air Force tests them. That's what they do out there. So I had all kinds of weirdo planes that I worked on. I just, coincidences, if you want to call it that, happened to be running around. My buddy was the base photographer. And so I'm telling him, I says, get me some pictures of that disc, because he's giving me everything else. And he said, what did they tell you? And I told him, he said, that's not true. And then he proceeded to show me pictures of the spacecraft. Well, I already saw that. But the two dead aliens got my attention, because they were not, they were, you know, humanoid, but more like the grays that you see in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that had me a little confused. Hey, rah, rah, I'm in the Air Force. I love my country. I've got all this stuff. I'm clear for top secret. Why did my commander lie to me? Well, I'm kind of inquisitive, right? So I went down and asked my commander. First thing, he blew up. He reminded me of my top secret clearance. So we joked about it. Because at that time, the fine was $10,000 if you said anything in jail time. And I said, I'm not worried about my family had money. I said, I'm not too worried about the $10,000, but that jail time had me bothered. So I said, I won't say anything more about it. And he said, this last comment was, when the government's ready to tell the truth about UFOs and ETs, they will. Until then, you stick to your story. And he said, oh, by the way, next week is Armed Forces Day. This is one of these other crazy things the Air Force does. Mm-hmm. They open up the base, let everybody come walking
yes.
in. All the vehicles. The week before I had to sign in, even for me to work on the thing. Now they let everybody come out and do it, right? But these craft were, the disc that I saw was probably 4 miles away or 5 miles out farther in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he put me on duty, and then I was subsequently transferred off the base. You know, other things that happened to me at that point.
I know something about your interaction. You've told the story about,
yes.
you know, meeting Billy Meyer and helping him with his book.
Well, that happened later. That was 1984.
Okay. So did you have ET contact, though, that you were conscious of between when you met Billy Meyer and when you saw the disc?
No, the disc was prior to that.
I know, but in that timeline,
consciously aware of something but didn't know what was going on.
Okay.
It's only when I got to Billy that the real thing showed up.
Okay.
All of a sudden, now the world's coming to do real. It's like when you give the ETs permission to communicate, they will if the need is there. And whether it's physical or non-physical, I have no idea.
Well, did you give them permission?
Of course.
When you met Billy?
When I met Billy. I gave Billy, it's Billy, the extraterrestrials. I said, I'll help you out. I mean, the story was unbelievable. Like I say, it was a funny game. I'm sitting here making a contract orally with them and Billy, trying to get things squared away to put out the story to the world about what the Palladians were doing in Billy's story, because it was important.
Right.
You know, I flew back to, you know about that, I flew back to Beverly Hills, and my attorneys there were the attorneys for Screen Actors Guild at that time. And Billy had already given away the worldwide rights to a story to the couple down in Phoenix, you know, Wendell's
mm-hmm.
friends.
Right.
And who I already financed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, the game becomes a little bit more convoluted at that point. Anyway, I was hoping my attorney would be able to set it up so we could go ahead with my agreement I gave to the ETs that I would help disseminate their information, because they wanted to wake up the people here on the planet. In their story, they say that they basically engineered this planet was engineered for 500 million people.
Okay.
And now you had to remember that they said that. In fact, Semyonsi, the girl that was in contact with Billy, her big deal, she says, I go around to different planets, her job, to see what it takes to engineer them for more life. Because there's lots of planets that are capable of maintaining humans. This happens to be, as they say, the prison planet.
Right.
Only one race, lots of different colors. We all come from different star systems.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, you know, the last time I was over at Billy's, you know, there's a guy 7 meters tall. I didn't see him, but I saw his footprint. I mean,
yeah.
Billy, you know, put his shoulders on.
Okay, but they, the Pleiadians, because I've been, we went out to Billy, and we tried to get an interview. We couldn't. Okay, yeah. This is recent, you know, not that long ago. And he's basically not giving interviews, more or less. He's kind of gotten very jaded by the whole thing.
Oh, other, yes.
You know.
Yeah, I know.
So, we had a very interesting experience. We took a photograph of me standing next to the Silver Star emblem he has up there.
And the camera was blank.
No.
Oh.
The picture was silver.
Yeah.
Everything before and after is in color, but yeah. I'm in silver.
Now that's the Pleiadians that were there.
They were playing with me.
Well, no,
and
they
were giving a message.
That's right.
They were saying hi. You know.
Have you talked to Dr. Jim Deardorff either?
Well, I know who he is.
Well, Deardorff went over there. When I came back, see, the document that was not under the contract with Billy and the guys down in Arizona was the Talmud of Emmanuel, the teachings of Emmanuel.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's where Billy and I had a little falling out, and he didn't like me about that because I gave it to all kinds of people.
Okay.
And anyway, during that period of time when I was over there, you know the holes in the tree? You saw them when you were over there, didn't you? Well, when he took the laser pistol went out there.
Okay.
Well, that was happening when we were there.
All right.
Anyway, we were given permission to go take three pictures. That's all he said. Three pictures.
Oh, right. I remember. Okay, yeah.
My camera is a full, 36 roll film. Anyway, 22, 23, and 24 was great. Well, I took another one because there's one way up, when it took you, totally blank. Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned that to Jim Deardorff. Exact same thing happened to him. He took his three pictures, and then the fourth one, his camera jammed.
Right.
Now, the same thing happened, like yourself. Because Billy is being monitored like I'm being monitored, the guys are here right now. They're
okay, when you say the guys, you talking Intel or are you talking ETs?
Extraterrestrials, other dimensional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we're used to this. And that's good.
But what they're trying to do is
there's the good ones and the bad,
well,
the negative ones.
You have to look at, we have to look at a much bigger picture when it comes to good and bad, because now we start making judgments and we have a rule book that they've given us. The question is, as a creation is trying to figure out what it is, and given us free will to expand that. You understand when you wake up in the morning, there's a hormone called serotonin that wakens your body up into what we call the 3D world.
Right.
Okay, when the sun goes down, because it's all triggered by light, then melatonin steps in and your body goes to sleep, right, theoretically.
Right.
Between midnight and 4, there's a downloading that occurs, the uploading. So you should, if you can do that, be in constant communion, you can be in constant communion with the creation or the hierarchy that is assisting you at this goal, because this planet is very important.
Right.
I mean, everything's important within the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And good and bad is only measures of to see how what works and what doesn't work, and to come the four rules of the universe, which you already have, the final one is balanced. Well, we're so out of balance on this planet.
Okay, but one is, okay, I mean, attraction.
Law of attraction.
Right.
What you put out, you're going to get back.
Right.
The law of intent. Remember, we got thought made manifest. What did we intend to make? The third one is the law of allowance.
Allowance. Yeah. Okay, but see, the law of allowance, that's where you get into the negative and the positive.
Well, you're allowing
it to interfere.
Exactly. Now you come to the last one. No matter what, it has to come in balance. We on this physical plane measure everything in a sequence of time. Can't do that because we don't know how. We have the old.
In other words, you could be rectifying a balance because, for example, the United States and slavery, you're talking what went on in the past balanced by the future.
Exactly, the karmic reactions. Now, the only thing that exists is right now.
Mm-hmm.
The future potentials are there. Now, somehow, like Billy, you probably are aware, he was taken forward in time and had taken pictures of the future events, World War III and what's coming on from there.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the destruction. I mean, I saw all the pictures of San Francisco. I couldn't get Billy to come over to the United States to appear in court.
I know, but look, nothing yet, right?
Oh, but think about this. If I saw the pictures, I'm aware of what the Global 2000 agenda is, which calls for war to
Iron Mountain, the Iron Mountain report is the same thing.
Same thing, yeah. To get a war started in the Middle East, which is to spread to the United States, right?
Right.
Well, San Francisco's destroyed before the war. It's not a nuclear explosion. So we're right on the precipice. I'm also monitoring right now. I talked to out in California this morning. There were three earthquakes out there. Now they only release the stuff. It's over three. There's over 1,000 a day. It's like a little chip, you know,
sure.
A cracker.
Absolutely.
So we know it's going to break at any time right now. It's coming up to the point when the San Andreas is going to move. I was with the TV crews up in Sacramento. They're ready for it at any time. They know that it's, and the scientists I talked to up there said, well, we think it's going to go a minimum of 18 feet. Well, that totally wipes out Southern California. All the water, the whole game, whole thing comes apart. When I got all this data...
I have dreams of the future that tell me things like this, and I've seen San Francisco.
Okay, well, then you've got the same thing. Well, I moved. I said, enough of this. You know, I had a house 2 blocks from the Beverly Hills Hotel. I got out of there. I had a nice house at La Costa, you know, North mm-hmm. County, San Diego.
Right.
I'm gone out of California. Mm-hmm. I then, looking at all the rest of the thing, how do I maintain balance? Now, what we didn't, when we talked before, when I agreed, when I said no to the doing the job to being the finance chairman, this is where the story continues on. When I said no to do that, then that was on Monday. That Friday, my lead banker calls me in my office and says, George, you're no longer one of us. I got to call all your loans. I mean, I was under construction. And so anyway, it took me a couple of years to unwind myself. And I said, I don't want any more part of this. But then I got really deep into the Global 2000 agenda of population reduction. Then's when I really started to get into, wait a minute, we got to wake people up.
Well, when you say you got into it, you mean you...
Well, I sat in with the governor. We're talking about wiping out the American population down to 20 million.
Well, you agree... This is after you got offered that job?
Oh, yeah.
And so, in a certain sense, you were still kind of like...
Well, I know,
going
I knew
along
what was going
with that
on.
Program?
No, I just...
Or are you just trying to educate yourself?
Well, I'm educating, but I also was saying, okay, I know what their agenda is. They won't bother me particularly, right? It's only when I started to... publicly say what they're coming down is I started to get the reverberations at any point. It's like when the feds themselves, you know, the Federal Reserve, they didn't like me because I learned how to break banks, mm-hmm. which was...
Well, okay, how long after the time when you had this sort of realization moment...
The Billy Meyer thing really opened up everything, and within a period of, let's say, a year, I started to say, wait a minute, what I'm doing is not correct. The population reduction scheme that they're going to do, the world, the money game, and hell, I made my own bank outside the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, I've already done that. Been there, done that game. Well, let's go on to something bigger. Well, then I made my agreement with the ETs. I mean, in fact, I told them, I said, if my word's no good, nothing is. Well, what do you have?
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, the information
did
I had...
Wait. Did you tell him telepathically?
No, I told him to like you and I. I mean, we're sitting here...
You talked out loud?
We're talking out loud. I mean, we're talking about how...
Are you talking about the ones that are walking around that look like humans that you talk to?
Yeah, these are humans, yeah.
Okay.
But not Pleiadians, above the Pleiadians.
Really?
Yeah, and it goes higher than that.
Oh, I'm sure they do. So what were those? Do you know they're like... Do they tell
no,
you
I
where
didn't,
from?
We didn't go into that. In fact, it was a very... rather than having people identify, like with Billy saying there's a Pleiadians or like... When I was in Spain with the Umos or in South America,
right.
All the, you know, there's a lot of different groups.
Right.
They claim that none of them, they all have different objectives. They were in contact with me and they said things to me, you know, in my head.
Really?
Well, when I had some answers that I, it just came out of nowhere. You know how that is. They're in communication. Because I'm constantly being aware of them.
Them right now?
Well, I know they're around. Sure, they watch me all the time.
Sure. But are you able to discern when it is you or when it is some inspiration or something you're getting?
Yeah.
When
they want to get a hold of me?
Uh-huh.
I mean, they really seriously want to get a hold of me?
Right.
In my house, the phone will ring, but it doesn't
The
really.
Real phone or just a phone?
It sounds just like
the phone. Audible.
It's an audible phone. It's mm-hmm. time, okay. And then it's time for me to meditate and get off of, you know, and just wait for whatever there is. Now, can they get to me physically at that point? Yeah, they can do that too. But they try to keep me into this balance. They said, no use talking about that other side, like coming aboard craft. I mean, I remember inside some of those things, but they don't want me to do that. They want me to keep me right here. And they won't tell me about who I am on the other side either.
No?
No, they said if they did, I'd probably wake up and I wouldn't accept the job anymore. As a
really?
Joke, seriously, but I got that from about three other people too.
You wouldn't accept the job anymore?
I would, no, I'd leave. Because it's...
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Now, do you have any past life recall? Have they given you that?
No, they won't let me do that either. That's part of the game, because
really?
Who I was before.
Okay.
And I live with a world-famous clairvoyant.
Oh, you do?
Who remembers all 6,000 years she's been here.
Okay, that's beautiful.
I was going to invite her over, but we were out partying last night, and she says, I'm just going to kick back, but...
Okay, so
there is no, you know, between the death experience, it just goes on. It's one
absolutely.
Continuous thing.
Well, absolutely, I agree with that. And I have some past life recall, as does Bill, but certainly not 6,000. You know,
she remembers back in Atlantis and Lemuria and all those times, and the real story behind. She can tell you what happened, who was leading, and
great.
You know,
that's fabulous. Well, you know, Bob Dean's wife is the same way, Marcia Shave. Shaver, I don't know if you know who she is.
No.
Anyway, so does she tell you?
She's been instructed also.
Oh, really?
Me, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we have this thing. I said, look, and she does readings for people all over the
sure.
world, and I don't know what she says to anybody, but we have this understanding, and she knows what my job is, and so she supports it.
Okay.
I mean, it's tough to live with clairvoyance, and tough to live with people with me, you know.
I bet.
It's a bad game.
Well, it depends. It depends how you view it. I mean, from day to day, it's, you know, sometimes.
Well, she
it's
said
good.
It, she wouldn't have my job. She says the guys upstairs shouldn't have given it to you. We want to have some fun. We don't.
I know. Well, this is the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a preoccupation every hour of every day.
Well, I'm 100% committed, because how many people get committed and they either get you are given the job and then you choose to go away. And this dimension is so screwed up. I can understand that. I mean, mm-hmm. even, you know, the message to Garcia that's in our book, you give somebody the job to do it, how many of them really will deliver the message?
Right.
It's like trying to wake people up.
Yeah.
You know, I lectured all kinds of people. A lot of people, I get tons of letters of people that wake up finally.
Mm-hmm.
But then they recognize the job, but they want to go back to sleep. I mean, that's so, the programming is so incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. Well, we understand this, because we're also on a mission. So, what? Okay, to get back to this. So you have this exposure, and you basically knew you were taking on a job at some point, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me when that was?
When exactly the time was probably. When the ETs contacted me again when I was in Vegas, so that would be like 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 years ago, I was asked to build an enemy prisoner of war camp in downtown Las Vegas, just off of downtown Las Vegas. And I'm sitting here, who's the enemy, and, you know, what's this all about? And then I shared that with my friend Ted Gunderson, who's a former head of the FBI, you know, for Southern California. And then he came back, he said, they're building them all over the United States. So that... I said, wait a minute, this time is getting too short. Well, the Global 2000 agenda is behind schedule, because they were supposed to get the war started in the year 2000 in the Middle East. So, you know, I'm like everybody else. Well, they didn't, the dates again, we're talking about dates.
Right.
They didn't get it done yet. But they still want to have the fait accompli was to have it on the year 2012. Now, everybody knows that comes into sequence, because that's when the Planet X or Marduk or whatever you want to call it is going to come back around, which is going to affect a lot of the physical changes on the planet also. And maybe the return of, you know, one of the people.
The Anunnaki.
Sure. The whole game could come in at that point.
Okay. Now, are you being told this?
Yeah, I've been given this information at that same game. But the information I have, we want to wake up enough people so there'll be somebody here at that time. But the way things are happening right now is that there's too few of people waking up to make any significant difference. So the last message is what I brought with me. I don't know if you have them or not. From the ETs is to get together with other people of like minds to support each other in the days ahead, because you don't know what chaos is. It's escalating so fast that we're running out of time. So that's the reason why I'm grabbing planes and heading off to other parts of the world to find out where, no place is going to be safe. I do know the agendas that they have and some of their...
I'd love to ask you, George, if I could, just a question of my own there. How does that make you feel, the idea that you may be behind schedule with your mission to help wake people up? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel anxious? Do you just get on with a job like a soldier? When you wake up in the morning, do you feel optimistic, pessimistic, concerned, energized?
Well,
you know, I got a message the other day. I'm going to be lecturing to a big group this next week in Las Vegas. And just to share with the same thing is to ask you the question, you know, when you come out, I'm going to ask the audience and says, how are you today, right? You're good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next question is, why are you today? Because there may not be a tomorrow. And if you're asking me somewhere within the game that I have right at this minute, we're running out of time. I'm running out of my sequence of getting the information out. I have people all around the planet, even in Nepal and Russia and everything else, forming small groups. And I'm but again, from the ETs who are monitoring the entire planet right now, there's too few of them. And I get that same reaction back from people who were 100% committed because they're so frustrated. They say they're ready to go back to sleep. I can't do that. I wake up in the morning. I'm generally very optimistic on it. I'm optimistic because I'm here today. Right?
Right.
When I wake up and if I'm not here today, then that's the next question that you look at. And how much time, whatever that means, do we have to go? I don't know, because it doesn't appear that we have very much time before this chaos. Now, my background is heavy into, besides engineering, is money. And the whole money system is going to collapse on the planet. I mean, I walk around. I mean, you look at me. I can go anywhere on the planet right now. I got $5,000 in my pocket. Right now.
Five gold coins.
And that, you know, I just sit down there and look and say, well, wait a minute. What am I thinking? I can go anywhere in the world with these little pieces right here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's silver.
And they don't stop you in an airport. You don't have to declare it. I mean, I think that's why.
Well, we invested in silver because you told us to back in January, and it's been going up ever since.
Well, I've got a lot of people, and it's going to go clear on up. Because when you're based down to look at the history of the planet, even down in Mexico, it's always a silver coin. Look at the antiquities, and the guy's going out digging up the treasures in the ocean. What is it? It's right here. You're looking at it. This is gold and silver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this doesn't say, this is an American Eagle. This doesn't say Federal Reserve note on it. And that's what you...
I promise to pay.
No, it's it right here. It says it's right down in, it's exactly what it is. This is one, you know, it says $1 silver. And but it is 999. These are what they call silver rounds. This is the new this is 100% gold. They're in plastic gold. These are the new coins that are put out by our treasury right now. It's Martha Washington. And that's a half ounce piece. And that's $500. Now most gold, and if you get it, I don't care whether it's maple leaves or Krugerrands like these are or whatever, but I'm just showing you I have $5,000 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I could have 10 pieces, that's $10,000.
Yeah, you ever worried about losing them?
No. And I put it in, when I go into the thing, I just put it in the change thing. They don't know what it is. Nothing changes off on, but I can go anywhere in the world.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I carry my passport with me everywhere, too.
You have to.
Because I don't know what's going to go on.
Exactly. But you should have a few gold coins on you no matter where you are. Now, I'm serious.
I'm listening. Okay, so.
I mean, it's easy. You can get gold right now. You can't get silver. Right at the minute.
Oh, really?
Well, because...
Well, I have actually some silver coins from a grandmother.
Well, that's fine.
Who kept them.
The old junk silver, I suggest everybody get the old junk silver because it's trading right now at less today.
Right.
Less than what spot is for silver.
Mm-hmm.
But get some of that because the people will recognize that. Mm-hmm. They're not going to recognize the zinc and the rest of this other junk that they have, but they'll always recognize that. And for fun, do you know the new dollar piece looks like a gold piece? The new $1 piece you can buy at the bank? Get some of those because it doesn't say Federal Reserve on that. It just says $1.
Okay, but is it really gold?
No.
Okay, so is that, I mean, that's sort of a...
I'm working on a new gold thing right now,
oh, right.
You know, in Ecuador.
So. But how is that, I mean, isn't that just going to help Ecuador, or is
no.
that something going to go beyond that?
It's already going beyond that, because if you trade a piece of gold, it goes anywhere in the world. Look,
okay.
There's only three currencies in the world right now. There's only three.
What?
Gold, oil, and drugs. I'm not in the drug business.
Okay.
But they keep track of all that with gold. I mean, it's always based on what the barrel, you know, what oil takes out of the ground. And the problem with oil, you're probably aware, we keep on using it up. It's not replenishing, like they're saying. We're using it all up. And we're no longer getting that 30 cents a gallon oil out of the ground. It's 80 cents a gallon to get it out of the ground right now. That's the real cost. And then usually the government's time they add the taxes, that's another dollar to $1.40 a gallon. So you're $2.20 a gallon for oil coming out of the ground right now. Then you got the distribution and other stuff. Or it brings the cost up. Within a very short period, you're going to be $4, and then like Europe, $7 a gallon. It's coming up.
Okay.
That's going to kill the little guy even more, right? Mm-hmm. Well, only thing that's to offset all this, since we're playing with the world thing and the people play with a game called, you know, the stock market, which has nothing to do with business. It has nothing to do with business. That's just a crapshoot. Piece of paper. What does that have to do with business? The CEOs are already stealing all the money out of the companies, mm-hmm. so people have a piece of paper. If the whole company collapses like they're doing right now, mm-hmm. you still got the piece of paper, but you can't do anything with it. But you can always take a piece of gold or a piece of silver and trade it, right?
Okay, so I mean, we have people saying to us, I mean, we get a whole mixed bag of people with information.
Sure.
Okay, now your information comes from Intel, right?
Yeah.
You've got some CIA
people. I have CIA, MI6, I have FBI, I have foreign government, I have... One of my friends was the head of all of Latin America, the CIA. CIA is crooks in action. All CIA people. They're all professional liars. They're all professional liars.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
Okay, but let me ask you something. You know, Richard Hoagland says, like, the lie is different at every level.
That's right.
So let me ask you, do these people have the information correct, or are they also misled?
To give you that idea, now this is on a physical plane. I sat in on a meeting when we were talking about population reduction in the United States.
Right.
And there was a dozen of us. And they were talking about using neutron bombs in the major cities and other biological weapons and things.
Right.
And within the group, you know, we're all buddies, right? It's like the three of us are buddies right now at the minute. Well, what if I sent you outside and we're talking about getting rid of you? Now, what happened is... which brought my attention was, I sat with this meeting, and one of my close friends was a member of the Skull and Bones,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty high up. I mean, they're incredible powerful. Anyway, half of the meeting left, and we were talking about getting rid of some of the guys who were just in the meeting.
Really?
It's just, the question is, who's going to be left on top? And it's like being in a den of rattlesnakes, black widows, and scorpions. Mm-hmm. They're all capable of killing each other. Who's going to win? Actually, none of them.